19 through 22. Psalms 78, verses 19 through 22. On the back of our church bulletin, though, a couple of things that you want to know. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock, that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day and for this opportunity. Thank you for each person that's here. And Lord, I do pray that during these next moments, you would please help us to be able to focus and concentrate our attention on the Word of God. Lord, help our minds to be free from distraction. And Lord, I pray you'd give me the grace, the strength, everything that I need to say exactly what you want said. And Lord, I pray that we'd all be receptive, and that we would apply it to our lives. And Lord, I pray that you would get the glory and the honor in everything. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I'm going to begin a two-part sermon titled, God Can. God Can. And I want to get started by pointing out that Psalm 78 gives a record of Israel's history from when the Lord delivered them from Egypt to when he chose David to be their leader. And in this record, and I say this record because many times in the Old Testament, we are given a record, a recap, a reminder, ever how you want to say it, of Israel's history. But in this particular record, the psalmist emphasizes the fact that during this time, in spite of everything God did for them, Israel continued to sin and provoke God to anger. You see it all the way through this psalm. For example, look with me, if you would, at verses 17 and 18. The Bible says, and they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. Verse 18, and they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Look down, if you would, now at verse number 32. It says, for all this they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. Look at verses 40 through 42. It says, how oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. Look at verses 56 through 58. Yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God and kept not his testimonies, but turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow, for they provoked him to anger with their high places and moved him to jealousy with their graven images. So time and again, as you go through this record, you see how the psalmist focuses on the fact that in spite of God's goodness, in spite of his mercy and his grace and his provision and his deliverance and all the good things that he did for Israel, they continued to sin and rebel against the Lord. Consequently, you read in this same record of times when the Lord brought punishment upon his people. He chastised and punished his people because of their continued rebellion in spite of his goodness. But now the thing that I want you to notice for this message is that in our opening text in verses 19 through 22, we see one of the things that Israel did that moved God to anger. And this is a very important truth that we need to understand. What you find in this opening text is that these people doubted God's ability to provide what they needed. They doubted God's ability to provide what they needed. Look at verse 19 again. The Bible says, yea, they spake against God, not for God. They're not saying something good on behalf of the Lord. They're speaking things that are against God. Yea, they spake against God. And what did they say? They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? What they mean is, can God provide the food that we need here in the wilderness? Notice they go on and say, verse 20, behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. They talk about what God had done. He had provided water for them. But then they say, can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? The implied answer is no. They are clearly doubting God's ability to continue to provide. They have already seen his provision in the fact that he gave them the water that they needed. But now they're in need of food, and they say, hey, we've seen that God gave us water, but can he really provide food out here in the wilderness for all these people? Can God really give us all the food that we need? They doubted God's ability to provide. They did not believe the Lord could come through at this time and give what they needed. Look at verse number 22. The Bible says, because they believed not in God. That doesn't mean that they were atheists. Doesn't mean that they believed God didn't exist. It means in the context they did not believe in God's ability to provide the food they needed at that time. That's what they didn't believe. In spite of seeing God's provision, they did not believe he could provide what was needed. So they said, can God furnish a table? And I want you to notice how God felt about this in verse number 21. The Bible says, therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. You know what wroth means? It means angry. Made the Lord mad. When he heard his people voicing their disbelief, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Amen? So when you have these things in your heart, and you open your mouth, eventually what's down in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. They had disbelief and doubt in their heart. They didn't believe that God could provide. So when they spake against God and said, can God furnish a table? They did not believe that he was able. And that upset the Lord. Made him mad. It's a very important truth to understand. Do you understand this morning, child of God, that it upsets the Lord when you doubt his ability to provide your needs? It upsets him. He's not pleased with that at all. When his people doubt his ability to provide their needs. I understand that there are two groups we as believers can be in. Now, we cannot be in these groups simultaneously. We have to be in one or the other. But along our Christian journey, we're going to find ourselves in these two groups at different times. Not simultaneously, but at different points along the way, we're going to be in these groups. You have the can God group, like Israel here in Psalm 78. This is the group that says, can God provide? We have seen his provision, but for whatever reason, at this particular time in our life, we doubt his ability. So we're in the can God group. Is God able to provide? Can he continue to take care of the needs that I have in my life? That's one group. Or you can be in the God can group. It's the same words, just a different order, right? One group says, can God, implying that he can't, or it's very possible he can't. The other says, God can do what needs to be done. Now listen, folks, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out which group God wants his people to be in. God doesn't want us to be in the can God group. He wants us to be in the God can group. It pleases him. It makes the Lord happy. The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. For we must believe, the Bible says, that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If we are in that can God group, we cannot please the Lord. To make the Lord happy, we got to be in the God can group, believing in our heart that He can provide the needs that we have. You understand this morning? That's reality. Reality, whether you believe it or not. And that's the thing. Your unbelief does not prohibit God from being able to do what He says He's able to do. So if you don't believe it, you're not hurting God other than just upsetting Him. You're hurting your own self. You're holding your own self back. Because reality, whether we believe it or not, is that God can provide our needs, whatever they are. If you have a financial need, do you understand this morning that God can provide that need? He can do it. If you have an emotional need, maybe you're worried, maybe you're stressed out. Hear a lot today about people being stressed and having anxiety attacks. Those things are very real, by the way. The lives of some people, they're very real. People are stressed out. They struggle with anxiety and worry and fear and doubt and depression. A lot of people go through these things. If you have a need for peace in your life, for joy, for comfort, whatever the emotional need, I'm just trying to be an encouragement to you this morning. I want you to understand, whatever that emotional need, God can provide that need. We don't have a God who's disabled. We have a God who is able. God is able to meet your need. If you have a financial need, if you have an emotional need, if you have a physical need, a lot of people we know are going through physical trials. All of us go through physical trials at some point in our life. And it seems like the older we get, the more frequent those physical trials come. And the truth of the matter is, none of us know what's going to happen to these old bodies before we get out of here, do we? None of us do. There's no telling, really. It's probably a good thing we don't know. Probably is. But physical infirmities and problems, struggles with our health, that's all reality. But the thing I want you to understand this morning is whatever your physical need is, God is able to provide that need. God can provide the need. If you have a relational need this morning, some kind of relationship issue, maybe your marriage isn't going exactly like you would hope for it to go, maybe there's a problem with your husband, your wife, maybe you're struggling with your kids. That happens every once in a while, doesn't it? So I believe in keeping it real, you know what I mean? I'm not going to pump you full of a bunch of sunshine here this morning. I've got to tell you the truth. And the truth is sometimes we have burdens and problems and relationship issues. Sometimes that stuff happens. But here's what I do know. I know God can. That's what I know. He can take care of that problem. Maybe you got a family problem. Maybe there's some kind of family issue. God can provide that need. Maybe you have a spiritual need of some sorts. Maybe you're backslid this morning. You know the good news is that God can bring you back to where you need to be in your life spiritually. Even if you get away from God, and hey, that's something that happens to most of us at some point in our lives. It's nothing to be proud of, but the truth of the matter is most Christians backslide at times in their spiritual life. Now, sometimes we backslide further than others. Sometimes people slide way back, I'm talking about. And they just get completely out of church, and they get way out in a far country, and they get a long way from God, and they make a mess out of their life just like the prodigal son. But you know what? When you read that story of the prodigal son, guess what? He got back where he needed to be, didn't he? Sometimes people get way away. Other times people don't go that far. They may not even get out of church, but they sit on a church pew backslid. See, our mindset is, I'm not backslid if I'm not out in the bar somewhere. You can be on a church pew every Sunday of your life and be backslid. Because backsliding is as simple as you being here with God and moving here with God. It doesn't mean that you're here and then you got to fall all the way down here. Yeah, that's backsliding, but you can be here and just move back and stop, say, reading your Bible like you ought to. Praying like you ought to. Witnessing like you ought to. Just doing those basic things that God expects out of all believers. You can get latched in those things in your life and slide back from God. But whatever the spiritual problem, whatever the spiritual need, I'm just telling you, God can fix that problem. You came here backslid today? I'm not saying you did. I'm asking you. You and the Lord know the answer to that. You know what the good news is? You don't have to leave here backslid. God can get you back where you need to be. Whatever. You see what I'm talking about all through the Bible. All through the Bible, you see time and time again, God providing the needs of people. We don't need to be in the God can group, or the can God. We need to be in the God can group, believing in our heart that our God is able. What I want to do here just in the next few minutes is I want to give you three reasons why God can meet any need you have in your life. Three reasons why God can. First of all, I want to say this. God can. And by the way, before I get into that, I believe those two words are something that we need to put into our vocabulary more often. I really do. I think just daily, when you out doing whatever it is you do, whether you say it out loud or you just say it in your mind, you know what you ought to just make a habit out of saying? God can. God can. God can. Just say it again and again. Just get it to where it's second nature. God can. God can. As a man thinketh in his heart, the Bible says, so is he. It really does matter your mindset. It really does matter. It matters the things that you say to yourself. If you walk around all the time saying, can God, can God, can God, can God. You know what that does? That just increases the doubt and unbelief in your heart. So that whenever you come into a situation where you have a need, you meet that with a mindset of doubt rather than faith. So instead of walking around thinking, can God, do just the opposite. God can. God can. Meet every situation. You get into it, just start saying. Even if you, and that's the thing, I hear people say, well, I just don't feel like it. How many of y'all do other stuff you don't feel like doing? Don't you? We in Christianity, it's amazing. I mean, we get this thing where it's just about our feelings. Christianity is not about your feelings. It's about faith in the facts of God's word. That's what it's about. And I can promise you, there's going to be a lot of times in your life where you're not going to feel spiritual. And you're not going to feel godly. There's going to be some days you're not even going to feel saved. You're not even going to have any kind of emotion where you feel real spiritual and godly. But again, it's not about your feelings. It's about the facts of the Bible. And even if you don't feel like it, when you meet that situation, just say, God can. God can. God can. Just say it. Just say it. Because that's reality. Whether you can accept it or not, reality is that whatever the situation and whatever the need, God can provide. He can take care of. But here's some reasons why God can. Number one, I want to say God can because of his perception. His perception. What I mean is God can provide our need because, number one, he knows what our need is. Do you realize this morning there is nothing in your life God is unaware of? There's no need you have now. There never has been a need, and there never shall be a need you have that catches God off guard, that he's not aware of. He knows the need, and that's critical to being able to supply a need. For example, in my life, if I don't know that you have a need, then I really am not able to meet that need because I don't know what's going on in your life. I have no clue. For me to be able to intervene and do something, first of all, I've got to know there's a problem, right? I got to know something's going on in your life or I cannot step in. I may have the means to do it or I may not. But even if I have the means to help, if I don't know you have a problem, I can't help you with your problem. I got to know. You know what's wonderful? God always knows. That's one reason why he can take care of anything, because he knows the need all the time. There is never a need you have he's unaware of. Let me show you this. Hold your place right here in Psalm 78 and turn the New Testament with me. Turn quickly now. Turn to Matthew chapter 6, first of all. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. First of all, look in Matthew chapter 6 at verse number 8. Verse number 8. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. He says, "Be ye not therefore like unto them." He's talking about those religious people that prayed only to be seen of men. He says, don't be like that. The Lord doesn't want you to be fake and pretentious in your praying. He wants you to be real in your praying, to mean it. Don't be praying just for somebody to see you and think you're spiritual. He says, "Be not ye therefore like unto them." Look at this, though. He says, "For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." Before you ever open your mouth and say one thing, God knows the need. He knows what's going on. Look on down in this same chapter here. Same chapter. And as you get toward the end of this chapter, you see the Lord starts talking about some of the things I mentioned earlier, about worry, anxiety, that sort of thing, being full of care, just getting overwhelmed by how you're going to take care of the different needs of life, the basic necessities of life. Look at what he says in verse number 30. "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" And that's what puts you in that can God group right there. Such as the lack of faith. But look at verse 31. "Therefore take no thought," that is, don't worry, don't be worried and anxious. "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed?" Those are all basic necessities of life. That's what we all have to have to make it. We got to have something to eat, we got to have something to drink, and we got to have some clothes to put on. He says, don't be worried about that stuff, worried about where it's going to come from. Verse 32, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek," look at this, "for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." And then look at verse 33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things," the things he just talked about, those basic necessities of life. He says, instead of worrying about it, you just seek God, walk by faith, and let the Lord take care of those needs, because he knows what you need. That's what God's saying. It's what the Lord's saying. All these things shall be added. Turn now to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Then we're going to go back to Psalm 78. But go to Luke chapter 12. And these verses are similar. These were spoken at a different time to a different group of people. Luke chapter 12, verse number 28. "If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind." He says, don't be of doubtful mind about where these things are going to come from. "For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." What you find in the Bible is that God knows every need you have. And that is one big reason why God can. because of his perception, his knowledge, his understanding of the needs you have. Whatever you need this morning, God knows that. Number two, go back with me now to Psalm 78. I got to move on, just a couple more. God can provide our needs because of his perception. Number two, he can provide our needs because of his possessions. Because of his possessions. Here's the good news. More of the good news. Not only does God know what you need, God has whatever it takes to meet your need. He possesses whatever it takes to meet your need. Now I want to give you a couple of things, and both of these are demonstrated right here in this psalm. First of all, the Lord has riches in glory that he can use to provide the needs that we have. Philippians 4:19, don't turn there, most of you know it. But my God shall supply all your need. Isn't that what it says? How? According to his riches, where? In glory. You know what heaven has? It has God's riches. And at any time he chooses, God can open the doors of heaven and send down some of those riches to provide the need you have in your life. God can do that. You see it right here in Psalm 78. Look at it with me now. Verse number 22. Because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation, though he had commanded, verse 23, the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and had rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them of the corn, not of earth, right? Y'all see that? Not the corn of earth, but the corn of what? People ask me if there's food in heaven. Well, I believe there is. Aren't we going to enjoy the great supper with the Lord, according to the Bible? I tell you right now, I sure hope there's food in heaven. But it says he opened the doors of heaven and it rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them of the corn of heaven. Look at this. Man, that's people down here, did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. You know what he did? Then people needed something to eat. So he said, I tell you what, I'm just going to open the doors of heaven and I'm going to send some of my riches here in glory down to provide the needs of my people down there. Send it down. He gave them angels' food to eat and it provided the need that they have. So one reason why he can meet your need is his perception. Another is his possessions. He possesses riches in glory. But not only that, the scripture says, listen to me now, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You know what that means? That means that this globe right here belongs to God. That's what it means. And it means everything on this, the fullness thereof belongs to him. The Lord is the one that said, hey, I own the cattle of 1,000 hills. Listen, he said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't look to you because I got everything I need. That's God letting us know I possess what you need. He has it in glory. He has it down here on earth. You see it again right here in this psalm. Look at verse number 15. He clave the rocks in the wilderness. Now this is down here on the earth. They're going along in the wilderness and then people get thirsty. We're talking about a whole bunch of people now. I mean bunches of people. And then people get thirsty. And they need water. And they come to a few places and can't find up but bitter water. They're just kind of struggling along, but they need water. You know what? God knew what his people needed. And not only did he know what they needed, he possessed what was needed to provide their need. So what does he do? The Bible says he clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. You know what he did? He brought water enough to give drink to every one of those people from a rock. A rock. We're talking about God doing something supernatural here, providing. But he took something down here and he used it to meet the needs of his people. Understand, God has riches in glory, and he has all the fullness of this earth at his disposal to meet any need you have in your life. God's not even close to going bankrupt. You understand that? He's not even close. He's got everything. The economy in heaven, y'all listening to me now? The economy in heaven is just as good as it's always been. They're not on food stamps up there, not making fun of anybody that is. But I'm telling you, they're not struggling along in heaven is what I'm saying. The economy's just fine. The street is still gold this morning. The gates are still pearl this morning. Everything that you need is there or down here on this earth. God can open the doors of heaven and send down what you need, or he can take something on this earth and do a miracle and provide the needs you have in your life. God can. Got to give you a third one. I'm going to be finished. Why can God provide our needs? Number one, because of his perception. He knows what we need. Number two, because of his possessions. He possesses what is necessary to take care of our needs. Number three, I want to say he can. God can because of his power. His power. Look right here in Psalm 78. Look at verse number 26. The Bible says he caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by his power, he brought in the south wind. You hear a lot of talk about wind. Meteorologists talk about it and so forth. And when deer season is in, I am a wind fanatic. You know what I mean? I got apps on my phone. I want to watch the television when the news comes on, get the weather, because I want to know what direction the wind's blowing. You people in here that deer hunt understand that. Now, they came out with some product here a while back that said just forget the wind and go hunt. If you do that, you're an idiot. Just tell you right now. Because you may beat his eyes and you may beat his ears, but you ain't going to beat his nose. Not going to beat it. I am very concerned about the wind when I go hunting. Do you know what I think about? I think about these things. When I'm sitting in a deer stand, I try to pray and read my Bible and just think, have some quiet time. And often I look around out and try not to overlook the beauty of God's creation and the nature and all the stuff that's out there. I just have thoughts about the Lord. You know what I know when that breeze comes across and hits me in my face? I know the master of the wind. I know who's in charge of that wind. Who tells that wind what direction to blow and when to blow and how hard to blow. God's in charge of every bit of that, you understand. He's in charge of it. And it's by his power that things happen and come to pass. You see in verse number 26, it says, by his power he brought in the south wind. Why did he bring in the south wind? Because at the time, that's what was needed to provide for his people. So by his power, he changed the direction of the wind so that it was coming from the south. And it says in verse 27, he rained flesh also upon them as dust and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. And he let it fall in the midst of their camp round about their habitation. You know what he sent to them? Quail. I've heard some of you men in here not too awful long ago talking about eating quail. Quail's good, isn't it? That's good food. God, through his power, turned that wind to where it would blow from the south. And I don't understand all there is in that. Why it took the south wind, I don't know. I just know that God knew what he was doing. And he turned that wind to where it would blow from the south, and it blew in all those quail for his people to eat. So not only did he open the doors of heaven and give them angels food to eat, he turned the wind the direction he wanted to blow, and he blew quail up there for them to eat. But you know why he was able to do that? Because of his power. His power. Do you understand this morning that he is the Almighty God? That's what the Bible says. He's the Almighty God. There's a word that scholars, for what that's worth, use. It's the word omnipotent. You know what omnipotent means? That's one of them words they try to teach you when you go to Bible school. I guess so they won't feel so bad about charging you all that money they charge you. You know what omnipotent means? It means all powerful. It's a term used to describe God. God is all powerful this morning. So there's no problem, no need you have that is beyond his ability to provide, because he has the power to take care of it. You understand that he can move mountains? You understand that? He can make a way when there absolutely seems to be no way. He can destroy things that are hindering you. He can do whatever needs to be done. He has the power. Jesus Christ said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." So it does not matter what the need is. God can. I want you to be encouraged this morning. I don't know if the message is for any of you, but I just want you to be encouraged that God can. Whatever your need is right now. And maybe right now everything's good and you don't really have anything you need. Just like I've told you before, you hang on. There's a valley out there somewhere for you. And you're going to find yourself walking through it one day. And you're going to look around and understand you have a need. And when you're in that valley, utter the words, "God can." Let's bow our head for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day and for this opportunity to be in church. We thank you, Lord, that you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. You are God, and there is none beside thee. You're our hope, our help, our everything. And we are so thankful today that you are able to meet our needs. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.